The reading is Acts chapter 4, and that can be found on page 1035. Acts 4, verses 23 to 31, and it's headed The Believer's Prayer. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father, David. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Amen.
Thank you very much, Peter. I've been struggling, as many people have, with a cough for the last 2 weeks. So this evening could turn out to be, I was going to say, your lucky evening. You could have a very short sermon if I end up going into a coughing fit. But we'll see where the Lord leads us, won't we? The front line. I don't know how you found this short series. I mean, the book, the London Institute of Contemporary Christianity, you know, the organisation has been set up, was originally set up, people like John Stott, and it's really all about equipping us for the front line. You know, the idea of the front line may be new in terms of this booklet, but in terms of the LICC, they've been looking at this very seriously for years now. And to remind you that our front line will be different. Every one of us will have something of a different looking front line. And this is about where you spend a lot of your time. Now, for some of us within the church, it will actually be in the church. It may be that you spend a lot of time supporting, working with people in the church or with people connected to the church. And that is your front line. For some of you, you are safely retired, although you may find that you're as busier than you've ever been in your life. And your front line has changed quite drastically, maybe over the last few years. I'm sure that if we did another survey, which we have done over the time, we'd probably find that probably the commonest and biggest front line is within the field of education. And I know, looking at some faces here, I know that people have either have worked in education and are still working out there, whether it's teaching infants, juniors, seniors, or being involved in graduate training. I expect quite a few of us still work within the health industry, maybe in the hospital, maybe I do in pharmaceutical industry. And so our front line, wherever we spend most of our time, will differ. And it will change as our lives develop, as we mature. That front line will not be the same constantly. My front line gives me a lot of opportunities, and I'm so aware that I do not take those opportunities. I have the opportunity of working with a very, very international group of people. I can picture my office walking down the corridor, and on this side there is somebody from Greece, Sweden, Norway, France, Hungary. On the other side, Ireland, Poland, Slovenia, towards the end, several from India, someone from the US, someone from Canada. So I have the opportunity of meeting people from so many different backgrounds and countries. So the opportunities are huge. And so we've been looking in this series at what life on the front line would look like. And I'm just going to remind you of what we've actually looked at over the 6 weeks. We started off by thinking about the frontline call. And that was looking at Matthew and the call that Jesus made to every single one of us to go out and to share the good news and to make disciples. And it reminded us yet again of the amazing fact that that is his plan for salvation, that we are the people who've been given the job of telling people the good news about the gospel. And it makes immediately ask us ourselves, doesn't it? Have we actually got our priorities right? If that's the job that we've been given, and our front line for some of us is out there, then, you know, are my priorities right? I think in one of the things I was talking about, someone who felt that she knew that the church really valued her as a Sunday school teacher and prayed for her, but didn't really feel that the church valued her for the fact that her front line was out there. So, do you value me because I'm in the leadership team, or because I sometimes lead worship, or I sometimes preach? Or do you value me because I work in an office in Potter's Bar, working with many people, and the vast majority have got no faith and no Christian background at all? How do you value me? How do I value you for what you do on your front line? Have we got our priorities right? We secondly looked at the frontline commission, and we looked at that really amazing passage in Jeremiah, when Jeremiah told the people that they were going to be spending 70 years in exile, and that what he wanted the people to do was to be a blessing to the very people who'd taken them away from their land. And there's that passage, isn't there, that often we do that take out of context, you know, my plans for you. I have plans for you to bless you, not to hurt you. But those plans were in the context of my people are going to be in captivity for 70 years. And we thought about the fact that for some of us, our front line, which might be a job, is not particularly rewarding. It may be not where we want to be. And yet, that is our front line. And are we a blessing, even in the place that we're not particularly comfortable at the moment? We then looked at the frontline community. We were given this picture. You know, the scriptures talk about clothing ourselves in two or three places. But in this particular passage in Colossians, the actual picture really was of clothing each other. In other words, helping to equip each other in our front line. And I suppose it's a little bit like picture like a page clothing the knight before they go out to battle. You know, so maybe we should be pages for one another, helping equip each other for what we're going to face day to day. We thought about the frontline concern, about seeing beyond the obvious, about looking and finding out what people's needs really are, as we saw how Peter and John met the the beggar who was crippled and saw that it wasn't just money, but he needed to be healed. And they saw beyond, we thought a little about that. Some of the standard comments that people come back with, I'm okay, I'm all right, don't worry about me, when really they are crying out for help. The fifth one we looked at was the frontline cry. And we really looked about our prayer life. How does our frontline shape our prayer life? And how does our prayer life shape what actually we're doing most of our time? When we pray, as we do so often, your kingdom come, your will be done, what does that actually mean for your front line, where you're spending so much of your time? When you ask that God's kingdom will come into the front line, what does it mean when I ask that God's kingdom will come into the Potter's Bar office where I work, or the school where Ali works, or wherever you are actually? What does that mean for you? And then lastly, tonight, we're looking at the frontline commitment. And this is about looking at how does our frontline shape what we actually do in the church, or maybe in our home groups. Have we got it sometimes the wrong way around? And so we looked at this passage in Acts. If you'd like to turn to it. Because what happened to Peter and John changed what happened in the church. The actual train of events goes back to that passage we looked at 2 weeks ago, when Peter and John met the crippled beggar. They healed that beggar. His life was transformed completely, way beyond anything that he had ever dreamt. Following that, they were given the opportunity to preach to the crowd, to explain to all of those that had seen what had happened, that there was nothing special about themselves, but that this was only possible because they healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it was Jesus' name that had the power to heal. And we read after that that numbers grew rapidly, so that there were over 5,000 in the church. Following that, Peter and John are brought before the rulers, before the Sanhedrin, and they're given another opportunity, this time to preach to them. And the rulers are amazed. They know that these are unschooled men, as it says, fishermen, with no training, no theology, no teaching, and yet they were able to speak so eloquently about Jesus Christ. And the rulers tried to silence them. And Peter and John asked them that question, and they asked them again later on, is it more important that we should obey you or that we should obey God? And then that brought us on to the passage that Peter read for us. Peter and John then came back and reported to the church. And the church burst into prayer. What a prayer meeting to be part of. And Peter and John, and the church prayed together, and they prayed, Lord, keep us from harm. Make sure that we don't find ourselves in danger. Stop these people who are against us. Well, they didn't actually. I'm hoping that you're looking at the same passage that I'm at. Amazingly, they didn't do any of that. The sort of things that would have come naturally, isn't it? Were we to find ourselves being opposed in such a strong way by the authorities? They didn't. They said, Lord, look what these men are doing. And please, Lord, give us boldness to go on preaching. Help us to get out there again and keep on going. Lord, show that you're working by healing and do wondrous things in front of the people. They reminded God about what these people were trying to do, even when Herod and Pontius Pilate originally met together to try and stamp out Jesus Christ. And what happened? After they prayed, the Holy Spirit came and filled the house, and the house was shaken. Can you imagine what our neighbours would feel? Imagine a few doors up, the place is shaking, grab the crockery, those Christians are praying again. That would be something, wouldn't it? And so the church develops and changes. We find that the Christians get together and they share everything that they have so that nobody is in need. And if we continued and went on into chapter 5, we'd find that once again the apostles go out and they teach and they preach and they heal. And they heal in such an incredible way, even Peter's shadow falling on somebody heals. And the church grows rapidly. And the authorities come to them again, and they once again try to silence them. And this time they beat them up, and this time they put them in prison. Until the Holy Spirit releases them. And they go back out. And they must be such a pain to the authorities. The authorities don't realize that they've escaped. And people come to the rulers and say, those people that you put in prison, they're out there, they're preaching again. Stop them. And it wasn't long after that the persecution really started, and Christians started to lose their lives, and the church scattered. And what happened as the church scattered? The word of God spread beyond Jerusalem, beyond Judea, into Samaria, just as had been predicted. So you see, these things that were happening, these events that were happening out on their front line, out there, as they were preaching and teaching the people and meeting, was shaping what was going on within the church, and the church was growing because of it. So it leaves us with the question, doesn't it? How should the church change and respond to what happens on our front line? Wherever we are. In the home groups, when you look at the last session, there's a video clip, and it, for instance, it tells about a couple who are fostering children. Now, their front line is out there. They're helping support children that are going through really bad times. And they bring the children to the church, and the church helps them and supports them. And the church responds to what's actually happening for this couple. And it responds to their front line. And this isn't easy, because it suggests that imagine somebody completely new coming to the church. And they've been for some months and they've really settled in. I wonder what sort of conversation we would have with those people. It's great having you with us. We've really got to know you. And welcome to Hartford Baptist Church. And we're just thinking about what you could do in the church. You know, perhaps we think you could work with the young people. Or we see that you're very welcoming and friendly. Perhaps you could be part of the welcome team. Or you have great practical abilities. Perhaps you could help with the flower arranging. Or you have musical abilities. It would be great to have you at the front helping us worship. Or perhaps you could have a completely different conversation, which says, it's really great having you with us. You know, we've got to know you, and we really welcome you to Hartford Baptist Church. Now, what could Hartford Baptist Church do to help you in your place of work? How could Hartford Baptist Church change what we're doing so that we can support you in your front line? So it's being about being valued, not just for what we do here. And I know this is hard stuff because I've been involved with this church for over 20 years, and I've been involved with the young people's work, and I've been involved with home groups and leading and all sorts of other things. And I know, and it takes up a lot of time, and it is important. But I really have to ask myself, but am I so busy? And have I taken up so much of my time that I haven't got the time to think about my own front line out there? So, you know, am I so busy that there's just little left over? So, have we got the balance right? Are we willing to change what we do in here to help all of those? And it's all of us. You know, I'm not just talking about people who are in work, wherever our front line is. So don't ask, what can you do in the church? Ask, how can the church react to help you on your front line? If we're equipping one another for our front line, then that's good. And then we should certainly go on doing that. And that's often what preaching and teaching and what the home groups are about. Now, we've spent a lot of last year looking at our church vision and our church values. And it took us a long time, but I can tell you that that was the easy part of the journey. The difficult part of the journey is now saying, okay, so what? This is our vision. We have this vision that we want to see people moving on into a growing relationship with Christ. And we've said these are our values. But then we have to look at the priorities of what we do in the church. We have to look at a list, and I can assure you, and I'm sure you are as aware as I am, that is a very long list of activities that happen throughout the week, throughout the months, throughout the years. We have to say to ourselves, is what we're doing in this building and all the things around this building, is it really equipping us in our front line, helping us in our front line? Are we willing to change? I think perhaps it would be one way of looking at it would say, well, for the early church it was easy. They were in their infancy. Things were changing so rapidly, and that's true. And the fact is that we are in a much older church, and it's much harder to change our ways, isn't it? We all know that as we grow older. I'm sure none of us are stubborn, but actually we are. You know, I get so fixed in my ways. I haven't got the flexibility that I used to have. But you know, the early church had some real struggles, and they changed their ways. One of their biggest problems was dealing with the Jews who believed in carrying out certain ceremonies and how they were going to welcome in the Gentiles who didn't believe in any of that. And they had to come together and make some really hard decisions, you know, within the first few decades of the life of the church to see how they could accommodate. They'd change the way they worked. They changed the way they responded to one another so that the front line, which out for them was really the Gentiles very much, could be welcomed in. I wonder if we are willing, or are we too entrenched? Now, I haven't got anything specific in mind, but I would like you to ask yourselves the question. So, I'd like just to spend 5 or so minutes, maybe think. You may not feel particularly like wanting a long discussion, but why not just talk to someone near you and just think, is there something that we think should be changing within Hartford Baptist Church that allows me, that's you, you know, to really be equipped for your front line? If you'd rather just have a think about it yourself and pray about it, we'll spend about 5 minutes and then I'll close in prayer. But is there something that could change within HBC that allows other people out on their front line to be equipped better? I'll leave it to you for 5 minutes.